Well, Chris, you had a good day. I'd like to check a few thoughts out tonight before I preach. I appreciate this section over here. They seem to be holding their own pretty good on attendance. But these other two sections look like they might need a shot of B12. But I appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you for being here. We're interested in revival, and revival comes from God. And revival is for the child of God. Throughout the Word of God, there's many references to revival or what we call revival texts. And I wonder tonight, I want you to share with me if there's a favorite revival text that you have in your heart. I know where I'm going to preach, so I'm not asking for a text to preach on. But a revival text that maybe God has used to help you, and you'd like to share that tonight. And don't everybody respond at one time, okay? A revival text. Anybody know of a revival text? Brother, if thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in the wonderful text. Yes, sir. Which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. A revival text. There's many more. Yes, ma'am. Revive thy work. In wrath, remember mercy. Great text. Jeremiah said, Isaiah said, oh, that thou wast rend the heavens and come down. James 4:8 said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. Anybody else think of a good revival text? Let me give you one. Then I'm going to preach from the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah tonight, I want to call your attention to chapter 18. In the book of Psalms 51, verse 10, the Bible said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's revival. It is a necessary work. It is a divine work. It is a creative work. He said, create in me. It's a prayer of the psalmist's heart. Create in me, O God, a clean heart and a right spirit. You could have a clean heart and have a wrong spirit. You could have a right spirit and your heart not be clean. But it is a wonderful text for revival. Now, Philippians chapter 1, you don't turn there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he had, which hath begun a good work in you will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. It is an inward work. God works in our heart. That's where he begins to work, in our heart. It is a infinite work. It is God that's doing the work. It is a individual work. God works on us personally. It is an incessant work. He does not cease. He's working in our heart. We sing often the song, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. I want to preach tonight on the potter and being in the hands of the potter. Now, I know your preacher probably preached this 2 weeks ago, but you'll hear it again. So, the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 18. I'm interested tonight in this portion of scripture, and here's the way it reads. Verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. That's very, very important. He said, I'll cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. He's obedient. He went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Now be mindful of where it was marred. It was marred in the hands of the potter. If you have a habit of marking your Bible, there's a two-letter word that comes next that says so. That's a very, very important word in this text. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. So you messed up your life, so he can make it again. So you have sinned against God, so he can cleanse you again. So, now notice the next verse. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, I want you to bow with us in prayer, and we're looking particularly at verse 6 tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the good songs that's blessed our heart. Thank you for the privilege of meeting together. And I do pray for liberty. Lord, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so I ask you tonight to manifest thy presence and show us thy power. I pray that you'd vindicate your word, validate your message, accomplish your purpose tonight. Thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I want to say this. This vessel that is mentioned in verse number, and the text that I read, verse 4, he said, so the vessel that was made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. That clay was in the hand of the potter. Now, you understand tonight that in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, what about this verse? In the book of Psalm 31, in verse 15, the psalmist said, our times are in his hands, not in a doctor's hand, not in medication. No, it's in his hands. And so we're in his hand. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'll just reference these passages, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 8 and 18, Nehemiah talks about the good hand of God that was upon him. Ezra likewise talked about it in Ezra 7 verse 6 and 7. And so I'm reminded that tonight as believers, we are in his hands. There's no getting out of his hands. It's not just being in the hollow of his hand. It's just being in the center of his hand. That's my hand, top and bottom. But I'm in his hand. Amen. There's no way of getting out. Amen. Somebody said, well, I think that maybe you could pluck your own self out. No, that's ridiculous. I'm saying I'm in his hands. That's security. Amen. That does not give me a license to live as I please, but it gives me a want to be pliable in the hand of the potter that God might make me a vessel that's meet for the pastor's use. And so I'm seeing tonight that I see, first of all, the pressure of the hands of the potter, the pressure of the hand of God. The hands grab our attention as we go down to the potter's house, and we see the potter's hands, and we see the potter's heart. The potter's hand, potter's hands, potter's house, potter's heart. He has a plan for your life. Amen. And could I say to you,
He's still working on you, and he's still working on me, and everybody ought to say, praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad he doesn't throw the clay away, but when I mess up, so he makes it again, a vessel that's pleasing to him. That's what revival's about. And so I see the hands grab our attention. I see that not only do I see the pressure of his hands, we'll see the purpose of his mind and the patience of his love, the love of God. The clay's doing what? The clay is taking form under the pressure of his hand. Now listen to me. The things that touch your life and touch my life, God has a purpose in. The things that, the prayer request tonight, I don't understand all these things, but I'm saying to you, I know that our God is a sovereign God, and nothing takes God by surprise, and God is doing what? God and his providence has a purpose in our life, and so nothing happens to us by accident. God's working out his plan in our life. Now, I've watched God, and Pastor could testify the same thing through the years. I've watched folk that has had severe physical problems. I've watched them as God has walked into the room and God has touched that life and restored their health. And I believe in a divine healer. And his name is Jesus. I believe that God can heal. But then there's been a lot of times that in my life that I have been in my own family and in the lives of others that they've had severe physical problems. And God does not heal them, but God does give grace. Now, I want to say to you, God has purpose both ways. And I am to accept his purpose. And so I see, as I go down to the potter's house, we're going down to the potter's house, and we see the clay on the wheel. It is taking form. And how's it taking form? Under the pressure of the potter's hand. Are y'all here in the building tonight? Under the pressure of his hand. Now, there's a song that is sung often. I feel the touch of the master's strong hand. I'm grateful that God has us in his hand. And so he's doing what? I feel the pressure of his hand. What's he doing? Trying to hurt me? No, no, no. He's wanting to conform me to the image of his dear son. And so how's the vessel form? First of all, by the pressure of his hands. How's he do that? Inwardly, he does that by conviction. Inwardly, he is doing what? He's molding the vessel. So I see he's putting his hand down while the vessel is on the wheel. The pressure of his hand is molding that vessel inwardly. And that's where God begins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And so the pressure from within. And by the way, if the vessel is marred in the hand of the potter, he does not throw the clay away, but he makes it again. So he makes it again a vessel as he pleases or as he chooses. And it's all for his glory. And so I see the work of the potter, the pressure of his hand inwardly. Could I say, what a wonderful thought that the hands of God are seeking day by day. He's seeking day by day to mold these shapely lives of ours into a vessel of beauty, a vessel of holiness, and a vessel of usefulness. He is doing what? He's working on us. And that's why God, the Holy Ghost, convicts us, and he sees an area in our life that's not right, and God wants to make it right. If I will allow him to, then he can make a vessel that's usable, that's beautiful, and that is a life of holiness. And so the pressure of his hands. So sometimes I do that. How does he do that? Sometimes there is the discipline of detours that come in our life. You think you've got everything planned and then roads out.
So there's a discipline of a detour. And so God's doing what? God's molding your life. It's like when Dr. Lee Robertson's little girl was on her deathbed, and he's in Birmingham, Alabama, and he's trying to get back home. And on the way from Birmingham back to Chattanooga, there's a detour in life. And God changed Dr. Robertson during that time. Well, when he got home, joy was gone to be with the Lord. I'm saying the disciplines of the detour. Oftentimes, God uses detours in our life to mold us and to make us to be more like Him. Sometimes it's not only the detours of life, but I see the discipline of the detours, but I see also the dilemma of the dead end. You come just to a dead end. You're not going anywhere. God's still in charge. We're still in His hands, and He's working these things out. Sometimes it's the disappointments of the dry holes that we come to in our life. But I'm saying, inwardly, God is molding our life, and He does it by conviction. Listen, when I got saved, there's a lot of things I was doing that I did not know was wrong. And by the way, I still find that the same one that convicted me of doing wrong then convicts me of doing wrong now. And you don't have to write me a letter. You don't have to tap me on the shoulder. But I'm saying the Holy Ghost of God does what? He takes the Word of God and brings conviction to my... What's He trying to do? He's molding my life to be a vessel meet for the Master's use. And so that's what we want God to do in our lives. In revival, we want God to mold our lives. And I can say a lot about that, but let me say, it's the inward work of conviction. And so the purpose of His hand is felt. If He helped it, the purpose of His hand. So I feel the pressure of His hand. God's wanting to conform me into His own image. And so now He does it inwardly by conviction. But hold on, He does it outwardly by circumstances. He's doing what? He's molding a vessel. That vessel was marred in His hand. So He makes it again anew. He makes it another vessel. He makes it another vessel, so He made it again another vessel as seemed good in the potter, to the potter to make. Not as seemed good in your mind, but in His mind. He's making one that seems good in His mind. And so these times when we say, "Dear God, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on." God's still in charge. He's still working things out for my good and for His glory. And so He does it also by circumstances. He's creative in His mission to make a vessel meet for the Master's use. Now understand, God does not make every vessel the same size. And God does not make every vessel the same shape. But God is interested in making every vessel as it pleases Him. Now be reminded, ladies and gentlemen, that the vessel has no personality. And the vessel has no ability. It only has capacity. Hallelujah. Could I say God does what? He's making a vessel and listen, if you'll allow Him, He'll make that vessel to bring glory to His name. And He'll fill that vessel. And you'll find someone along the way that is hurting and it has special need. And God will tip your vessel and you'll be a blessing and help to them. I'm saying we've got too many people that fret about the places that they're in or the circumstances they're going through. Be reminded that He's the potter and we're the clay. And the clay doesn't dictate to the potter. It just simply yields to the potter. And the potter is working it out for its will. And could I say this? How wonderfully circumstances have and will mold our lives. Very often it is circumstance. Are you listening? Very often it is circumstances over which we have no control. You couldn't do anything about it if you tried. It's circumstances where we have no control. And think of the value of being raised in a Christian home. I wasn't, but if you was raised in a Christian home, think of the great value that you've had, and God used that circumstance, a place He put you in to mold your life. Think of also the fact of the influence of godly parents and matter of their prayers and their example and what an impression they have made on our lives.
And again, I think of the influence of the spiritual ministry of a good church and a godly pastor and a good youth leader and a Sunday school teacher. And by the way, we owe so much to these circumstances in our life. They're not accidents. They're appointments by God. And listen, there also the hardships that come.
Circumstances, hardships.
The trials of sickness and sorrow. How many lives have been changed through such circumstances? It is like again and again in the time of death, the time of sorrow, we're made more mindful of the brevity of life. We're made more mindful of our responsibility to God.
And God uses those. How many times our lives have been changed through such circumstances? It was the invalid, Francis Lilly Havergal, who wrote, "When the pressure is the sorest, the hands must be the nearest. He's working on us." And so the pressure of his hands, and yes, all of our lives have known the pressure of his hand. Inwardly through conviction, outwardly through circumstances. I want you to see with me, second of all, not on the purpose of his heart, the plan of the potter, the plan of the potter. Let me get it straight here. As I said, the pressure of his hands, pressure of the potter's hand, but the purpose on the mind, the purpose on the mind of God. Our attention is transferred from the hands of the potter to the clay itself. We're looking at the clay now. The clay itself. In the clay being revealed the pattern which was on the mind of God. He has a pattern for our lives. He has a purpose for our lives. And there's folks that, man, I wish I was like them, or I was, no. Be content with who you are and recognize that the potter has made you that way. And so you understand, I see he reveals a pattern which is on the mind of the potter. Gradually it's becoming clear, until at last it's finished. God's been working on us. And we watched the clay and we began to see the design taking place. God's working in our life. Could I say to you, a pastor can see that in the life of a member? And we can see that in the lives of those that we instruct or teach. We can see God molding their life and things coming into shape. And the things you think is hurting you, no, God's using those circumstances to bring you to the place where you'll be like Him. And so I see this, the watching, we see the potter and we see the purpose which is in his mind of God taking place before our very eyes in our daily walk, in our conversation, and the purpose of the mind of God. Well, what is that purpose? What's God's purpose and for our lives? There's two motives that governs the mind of the potter. Could I say to you this? It's either he creates something for its beauty or something for its usefulness. And it could be both together. I remind you this, that loveliness, the beauty of Christ. Psalm 149 verse 4 talks about that. Psalm 90 verse 17 talks about the beauty of God. In Hebrews 12 and 10, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. And so surely it is part of the purpose of God for your life and for my life for us to show forth the beauty and show forth the loveliness and show forth the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the clay. He's the potter. What's he doing? Molding our life. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. You're here and God's doing what? And students, could I say, God has afforded you a great opportunity to be in a place to where he, if you'll allow him, he can mold your life. And by the way, it's not just for the sports activity. It's a matter of God's doing what? God is molding our life to be like him. And you can go back to your place and tell others about what Jesus can do. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. He's molding our lives. The loveliness, the beauty of the Lord. And Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I wonder how far the clay of our humanity is revealing the wonder of the divine pattern of the potter. You see this, so many Christian lives are so utterly unlovely. But God wants us to be a vessel meet for the master of you. And it's also a vessel for usefulness. John 15:16. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And I'm saying to us tonight, the usefulness. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be used of God. We used to sing this song, to be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray, to be used of God, to show some soul the way. I long to feel the touch of his mighty hand. To be used of God is my desire. Could I say that's my desire? I have people ask me all the time. They think I'm getting old. Even sometimes they talk about me being old. And they talk about the matter of, well, I realize I'm not as young as used to be, but I am not planning to get old next year. But they want to say, when are you going to stop? When are you going to stop preaching meetings? When are you going to stop? And I have no intention to stop. I'm expecting that when Jesus comes, I want my hand to be on the plow and my eyes on the goal. I want to keep doing what God. Hey, He's made me. He's made me a vessel, and I want Him to put in that He might pour out, that others might be blessed and helped. And by the way, that's the intent of God for your life. And so I see this. Our usefulness seems to be frustrated by our own unwillingness. You see, God's purpose of usefulness is clearly to fulfill it in the lives of others. He wants others to see it. And so many of us come across Christian people who seem to shed the fragrance of Christ around them. Could I suggest to you tonight that one of those men that God allowed me to touch shoulders with was Dr. James W. Crumpton, one man that I think would remind me more of what the Lord Jesus would be like in his temperament. He's a very kind man, powerful preacher of the Word of God, but a very compassionate man, a very kind man. And by the way, the folk talk about being filled with the Spirit of God and they're mean as junkyard dogs. Could I tell you, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you take on the character of God.
Amen.
Amen. But that's what God wants for our life. And so we've come across people that way. And I could name after name tonight that has had an impression. And whenever we meet them, we are strengthened and we are blessed by that. No matter the fellowship, just being around. And by the way, could I say sometimes we say, well, we don't know what to say. Well, just be a friend and be there when they need you. That's the important thing. So as vessels, this may be the most ordinary to look upon as a vessel, but it's extraordinary in the influence that we exert for God. Now then, notice with me thirdly, the patience of the love of God. He said that vessel was marred. Where was it marred? In the hands of the potter. So what? So he made it again. So, wonderful text. So he made it again. Marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again. Another vessel marred. Would that not be written over your life and over my life? And by the way, you don't have to be immoral for the vessel to be marred. You can just be unfaithful. You can just be deceptive. But that vessel's marred. And I see for the marred vessel, there's a comfort of the patience of the love of God. Now I confess to you tonight that patience is not a strong point for me. But I don't pray for patience. Because the Bible said tribulation worketh patience. But we become very impatient. Could I tell you? A lot of times we want to do something out yonder when God's got us on the wheel. And there's still some more preparation to be made. Hello? And that's why young folks get married and they won't have everything mom and dad's had. They've been married 40 years. The patience of love. Could I say it this way? There may be a tragedy to be faced in our life, the lives of men. Something goes wrong. How often and how easily things do go wrong in the realm of the Spirit. By the way, don't think you're exempt. Don't think you are exempt or that I'm exempt. The steadfastness of his purpose never falters. There's no impatient rejection of the clay. Though it was marred, he didn't throw it away. He's patient. And I see the constancy to be found in the love of God. What a picture of God's dealing with us. Have not his purposes for us and through us and for others been marred again and again by something that's faulty and maybe something that's sinful in our lives? There's been something which God has to deal with before being able to continue his gracious work. Now listen to me. Something God has to deal with before he can continue his gracious work in us. That vessel's marred. There's a lump in the clay. There's a problem in the vessel. That has to be removed. And that's what we do when we confess and forsake our sin, that he might make the vessel pleasing to him. How are we doing tonight? I'm saying to us tonight, it is this, a time when our usefulness to God has been destroyed. But blessed be to God, although we've been that in that place, we may still be there, marred vessels. We are still in the hands of the potter. Had the prodigal son died in a far country, he wouldn't have been a prodigal pig. He's a prodigal son. And you understand that though we might, the vessel might be marred, and the devil tell you, that you'll never be used of God again. I'm telling you, he's a liar and the father of it. Though the vessel is marred, it may be costly. Could I say that we're still in his hands? It may be costly and it may be a painful experience while God deals with us. But you see the potter's hands. The potter's hands are breaking down the half-formed vessel so that he might remedy the defect. And that's why you get under conviction and you know you're miserable because you're not right with God. He's doing what? He's trying to break down that area that has marred the vessel. And so I see the potter's hands breaking down the half-formed vessel so that he might remedy the defect. And so we too may have something of that breaking down before God can once again go on with the gracious ministry in us and through us. He's a potter. I'm the clay. And he's doing what? A marred vessel. It reminds me of the marred visage of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah 52 and verse 14. And so when you look at a marred vision now and tell me what you see there, I see perfect forgiveness. I see unchanging love, and I see unfaltering purpose. God has a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for you. Each step I take leads me closer home. But God's working on me. I believe God's been speaking to hearts in these days. How's he do it? And so now we're the clay. Clay doesn't dictate to the potter. Clay just yields to the potter. And so if I'm not willing to be made what God wants me to be, I ought to find myself at an altar and say, "Dear God, I'm willing to be made willing that you might get all the glory." Now, I've experienced it in my life. I've watched others, and I've been influenced by a lot of good people along the way. And I've watched them in the times when I was as low down as a snake in a wagon track. I'm still in his hands. But I'm hurting. And God will use somebody, Brother Earl, to make a contact with me. And what God's doing is tipping their vessel and pouring a blessing into my life. And that's what I want for you. And that's what God wants for you. Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. God's still working on you. He hasn't thrown you away. You're important. You're necessary. He's working in our lives that he might work through our lives. I'm saying thank God for the wheel. I don't know how many more times around the wheel that we'll have to go. But before the vessel's finished. But he's been working and still working. Over 56 years, he's been working. He's the potter. I'm the clay. I think if I was here tonight and I was indecisive about what God wanted in my life, I'd lay myself on the altar tonight and say, "Dear Lord, I recognize I'm just clay. I'm not anything, but I come yielding myself to the potter. And I'm perfectly willing. Sure, you make me a vessel, regardless of what size it might be." And let me say this. Be reminded that it is God who places the vessel. He'll take a Earl Kicklighter and bring him from another state and put him at Faith Baptist Church. The place under the vessel is in the hands of the potter. I want God to use you and God to use me. Just a little thought. The clay was marred. Where? In the hand of the potter. So, he made it again. Another vessel. It seemed good to him. Hang on to the soul. So, God made it again. Another vessel. It seemed good. Bow with us in prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many tonight say, "Preach without a doubt"? If I died, I'd know I'd go to heaven. Could I see your hand as a testimony to the Lord? If I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. God bless you. Take your hand stand. I wonder tonight, as a believer, maybe God's been, you're feeling the pressure of his hand, the circumstances that God's allowed to touch your life. Some good, some not so good. But you said, "Preacher, I don't know about anybody else in the building, but God did touch my heart tonight. Would you remember me tonight?" Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am.